You're listening to audio from Ascend Church. For more information about Ascend or to access more gospel-centered tools to grow as a disciple of Christ, visit ascendkc.org.
All right, well, good morning and welcome to Ascend. My name is Chad McKinley. I am the Director of Discipleship here at... I'm the Director of Discipleship here at Ascend, and so it's a pleasure to be on staff. I'm also one of the elders here. And it's just a great joy to serve in that capacity. And one of the things that I get to do as the director of discipleship is I get to oversee our small group ministry. And so this is an important time for all of you who may be new to our church or who haven't got involved in a small group yet. This is the time to sign up. This is an opportunity. Our groups are starting back up here this week. And so this is going to be an opportunity for you to clear your schedule, find that one place to be a part of a small group. Small groups are so important because we learn and we dig into God's word, as well as we get to then have the opportunity to share life together with each other. And so our small group rally is going to be Tuesday and Thursday this week. And so make this before you leave today, or as you leave today, make sure you sign up for a small group, get plugged in, find out which of the days that you're of the rally that your group's going to attend, and just come and be a part of it. It's going to be a fun time to just be charged with God's word. It's going to be a time of worship. We're even going to have some fun and some fellowship. And so this is just a good time to hop in and get started in a small group this year. And so this year is 2021. And what's always exciting about the new year is the fact that it's new. And I think of this year that most of us were probably waiting for this. We were counting down the days of 2020 to end. And we were so excited that it came to a close and we entered 2021. And we found out, you know what? A lot hasn't changed. But hopefully we got a refreshing perspective. Many of us will make these things called New Year's commitments or New Year's resolutions. And so it was funny. So I just went out this week to see, like, what are the resolutions people typically make? And so here's the top 10 2021 goals. You probably sound very similar to your goals. Number one is exercise more. Number two, lose weight. Number three, get organized. Four, learn a new skill or hobby. Number five was to live life to the fullest. Number six was save more money, spend less money. Seven was quit smoking. Eight was spend more time with family and friends. Number nine was travel more. And number 10 was to read more. And so most of us had the best of intentions. I'm sure that when 1-1 hit, we were all like, this is what I'm committing to this year. And now we're 2 weeks in, you're like, yeah, I don't even remember what I was committing to. Or you just gave up. No, but what we find is that as 2021 enters, I'm sure we all had goals to change. But you see, 2021 is going to be something that God's actually going to accomplish something different. That this year it is about change, but it's probably not the change that you see. You see, Father, what we're going to learn today from Jeremiah 17 is that we're going to learn that God is going to orchestrate our lives in such a way that He does want to bring change into your life. But what this change looks like is oftentimes not the change that we think about. Or really the resolutions that we made. No, He wants to do a transformational work in your life. And so we're going to be looking at Jeremiah 17. And if you're new to Ascend, or if you don't have your Bible with you, you can reach in front of you. There should be a Bible in there. That's on page 645 is where we will be today. But what we're going to see from this passage is that we're going to see from God's Word that He wants to do something magnificent in our life and change in our life. But we got to be willing. And so they're going to put a quote on the screen, but I love how this Paul Tripp and Tim Lane explain just what the Word accomplishes and what the Bible is going to accomplish and what our study will accomplish today. You see, it says, the Bible describes four elements in the change process that God institutes into the lives of His children. And so if you are interested in spiritual growth, if you feel stuck in patterns that seem impossible to break, if you have wish to experience a fuller and deeper relationship to Christ, or if you want to help someone else make progress down the road, it helps you to understand how God uses situations and relationships of daily life to change our hearts. So think about that statement. Where are you? Where do you fit in? Is this somewhere where you want to have growth this year because you feel stuck? Is it a place where you want just to have a fuller experience with Christ? Or is it something where you want to help somebody? Because today, as we examine this passage, we are going to see that those all are going to be available. And they're all available through a relationship with God. In fact, what we'll find in Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10, is he's really going to give us this proverbial look at what it looks like with a life that depends on man and a life that looks like depending on God. And so your goal for 2020 should be utilize the trials to bring you closer to God and to help you be more, live more like Christ through them. And so the big idea today, let your trials in 2021 be used to move you to Christ and to be more like Christ. So as you've opened Jeremiah 17, let's go ahead and read the text and we'll dive in today. Starts in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell on the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So as we dive into Jeremiah, the first thing that we will see is that the first thing is trusting man will ultimately equal desperate longing. You see, when we see that trust the man, it doesn't mean like trusting your friend or trusting your spouse or trusting someone in your life. I trust a lot of you in the church. That's not what it's talking about. This trust is actually better defined as really to throw down yourself on the ground and put yourself on your face before man. And what it's really reflecting is on this really worshiping of man and man's ideals. And what it really reflects is not that you just trust, but that you depend and follow on man's wisdom. That's really what Jeremiah is getting at. And so trusting can, like that, can be many different things. In fact, it's very subtle in our life. If we're not careful and we're not really examining our life, we will find that because of either being on social media or because of the new outlets we listen to or whatever other voices may be in our life, is we can quickly trust in man and the fact that we are going to believe what it says and we are going to use that as motivation to live life. Another part of trusting man is actually trusting ourselves. That we know, we think we know what's best. We think we know what is good, and so we commit to follow in those ways. And so it says, cursed is that man. Another thing about this man, it says it makes flesh his strength, and it's really that we're depending on ourselves. We are depending on ourselves to walk through the trials of this life. 2020 might have been that reflection, is that your life was littered with times that you were depending on your own strength to do what you thought was best in your life. And many times, what I find in small groups or counseling or just in conversations with church is that I hear people are often struggle with two things. One, to read God's word. Every year we talk and people are making resolutions, I just need to read God's word more. And the other thing is, I need to pray more. I really do. And really what in those two things is the reason that we find that we struggle in those two areas is not because there's not value. I think all of us would say, yes, it's valuable. The problem is that we really are not seeking to depend on God. We are just comfortable with depending on our own strength. And so what happens? The reason that we don't see a need for, or why we don't read God's word, is we really don't see a need for it.
Because we are dependent on our own wisdom. We think we know enough to be able to live this life. And then in prayer, we think that we can have our own strength or that it's going to be enough to actually live through this life. And what we find is that as you continue in that passage, is that this person who does this, who walks in this way, what does it say? Whose heart turns away from the Lord. You see, the more that we do this, the more that we trust man, the more we depend on our strength, is we are going to find ourselves moving away from the Lord. And there's many reasons why that we can drift from the Lord. One is pride. As we've talked about, it's really we think we know what's best, and so really ourselves and what we think we can accomplish keeps us from actually moving towards the Lord. Another thing can be bitterness. That might be bitterness with God. Might be bitterness with your relationships with others. It might be bitterness in the fact of your circumstances are not playing out the way that you thought. And so in that bitterness, it squelches the worship that we have for God and His plan. Because what He was trying to accomplish in the trials in 2020 and now into 2021 is really to help you grow. But you have turned, and knowing that this wasn't part of your plan, you now are bitter. And so it moves you from worshiping the Lord. Another thing that moves us from the Lord is just really unbelief in God's character and His work. And you could say, no, I believe everything God's Word says about who God is. And you have that emphasis, but is that reflective in the hard trials? Is that reflective when the pressure and the heat actually comes upon life? Are you really responding that way? And so this is something that you have to understand, is that first of all, is that it has to be grounded in relationship with God. It takes Jesus Christ and trusting Him to enter into this, which we will talk about here in a little bit, but then it's going to really put your test. And if you're doubting God, or if there's unbelief, sometimes it can be unbelief in His sovereignty or control, because we are convinced that He would not give us this lot in our life if He was in control. Or it's doubting His loving care, because we think we want to know what's best. And so the reason the Lord is not giving that gift to us, there must not be a total love and care for us. A lot of times when I'm talking with single people, that they're just longing to be married. And they're longing to just say, they'll say 1 Corinthians 7, like, I know it's good, but it sure doesn't feel like it. And they wonder why God hasn't orchestrated that for their life yet. But what helps us to understand is that we must move in our understanding to know that He does love and care. And so we can let that interpret our situation versus the circumstances interpreting who He is. And so really what we find in Jeremiah 17 is that we find that the result of this is a very somber, desolate thing. Look what it says in verse 6. It says, He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched lands of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. And really what the picture is really just this dead shrub in the middle of nowhere. Look at how bleak the picture is. It's the language here is really pointing to us just the bleakness of the state, the desolation that this plant lives in. It says it's in the wilderness. It's really the desert. It's dry. It says it's an uninhabited salt land. Meaning like that's the worst soil condition a plant could live in. And it's really driving home that yes, if we choose to live this way, we will find very much life being hard. It's going to be difficult. Your circumstances are going to be troublesome. But here's the truth. Most of us sit in places in our life and we don't mind the desolation. We've lived like this for so long that we're used to it. It might be your walk with God. Oh, I'm saved. And then you think that's enough. Or maybe it's in your relationship with other people. Maybe it's a relationship in your marriage. Maybe it's a relationship with your other friends, and you just are like, you know what? This is okay. I'm not having any big fallouts. Or maybe I'm just, fighting is just part of it. Strife is just part of it. And we are so used to the desolation that we just wallow in it. And some of you don't even have a relationship with the Lord. And you don't really know how amazing it is. You hear about it, but you're like, I got a good job. I got a good family. I really don't need God. But what I can tell you and what we'll find from this passage and what's coming up is that there is such something so much greater when you actually walk with the Lord and that you're trusting in Him. And so that's the next thing. Is you see that trusting God actually equals content dependence. See, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. It's an interesting phrasing here because it's really reflective of the statement that we found in verse 5. What's interesting, it says, you trust in the Lord because you trust in the Lord. Right? Well, what the first trust is talking about is it's actually talking about that following. It's actually talking about walking. It's talking about doing what God actually prescribes. But it also means, and the second part is really a confidence in the Lord. It means that we have supreme confidence in His character and His work and what He's doing. But so many times, even as Christians, what we do, we have that second part down. We have confidence in the Lord. But sometimes we limit ourselves in actually taking the steps of faithfulness. In fact, the team's going to put up behind me a picture of the Royal Gorge Bridge. I remember traveling there as a kid. And I remember when we walked up to this bridge, it's a beautiful bridge. And I remember walking up to it and seeing it, and I was like, oh, this is great. Look at the suspension. Look at this, just how long it is. Look how high it is. And I had such confidence because you have steel, you have cables, it's holding together. Right? And so I remember that it was my family, and so for most of our family, we were ready to go. But remember that this confidence can sway actually when you get on that bridge. Because when you walk out on that bridge, again, this is a 1,000-foot bridge. It's about 1,000 foot in the air. And when you walk out onto that bridge, guess what? It's not like a bridge you're walking across normally. No, this thing sways. And you're like, what in the world? And so what it took was that, you know, we did have to put trust in the bridge. We had to put trust in the fact that we looked at these cables. We knew that even though it was 100 years old, it looked in good condition. We saw others walking across this bridge. And so in that confidence, we continued to walk in trust. See, the same thing is true of God. It's if we're going to say that we are the man who trusts in God, whose trust is in the God, it can't be mere formal theology. To say, yes, I understand that God is sovereign. Yes, I understand He's good. I understand He's loving. No, it actually means that we have to live our lives in accordance with that. You see, 2020 really pressed us in many areas that we were comfortable in. And God was doing a work into our lives if we allowed Him to actually express this confidence that we say we have. Because it's one thing to know and say that you understand His word, understand His character. It's another thing to actually live it. And really what we call that is that there's a formal theology, the theology that you say that you affirm. Oftentimes people tell me, well, it's our doctrine. Yes. But what it has to lead to is actually practical theology. Theology that shows that because of the confidence, because of what we know, we're actually going to do and respond to life in the way that He's called us to. Because what's interesting about Jeremiah and who he's prophesying to, he's prophesying to the Israelites. This is not a good time in the Israelites' life. God is about to bring judgment. He's going to disperse them. He's going to have them go captive. And guess what? Jeremiah has to bring that prophecy. And so oftentimes, God's prophecy actually goes against conventional wisdom. There's one point where the city is about to be overtaken, and Jeremiah is saying, hey, guys, go surrender. Actually, leave the city. Stop fighting. You're not going to be safe in here. If you surrender, your life will actually be good. You'll be able to stay in the land. But if you don't, you're going to be killed, you're going to be taken prisoner. That doesn't make sense. Not even from a patriotic American standpoint, right? No, we fight till the end. That's what God was telling them was going to be different. And so it was really reflecting that we are going to have to trust in the Lord. But when we do trust in the Lord, we are like a tree planted by the water. In fact, if you look at that word planted, that's in it. It could be better translated because the word, the Hebrew word for plant is actually a different word. The word that's used here is actually transplanted. And what it's a reflection of is that we all are the shrub in the desert before Christ. But when we come into relationship with Christ, we are actually transplanted next to the water. In fact, in verse 13, that's what God refers to himself as, is the fountain of water. And so we can see that by being planted, we will receive the necessary life-giving water that we need for this life. And as the heat and the trials come, we actually can live through them. Because no matter how hot or dry or hopeless our circumstance seems, we have the living God who is present and active, who loves and cares for us in the trial, and will sustain us through the trial if we would trust him and walk in faith through the trial. Then being confident in the Lord means that you are growing in your trust for him and your willingness to receive his counsel. Look at what it says. It's a tree that sends out its roots by the stream. That as 2021 comes, you are going to be pressed. You are going to experience heat of life. It's even going to talk about a year of drought. It might be a year of drought for you. But you have to be reminded that in this time, you have to be in the active pursuit of the Lord. You're going to have to do the diligent work to actually grow in him. In fact, Philippians 4, 12, 13 gives us this idea. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And so God is going to give an opportunity by your ordained circumstance. And he gave you his word so that you can actually walk through that. But it's a question, are you going to trust the Lord? Are you going to trust the Lord to actually do that? And are you going to let this be a year where you actually send out your roots to the life-giving stream to understand the trust of the Lord, to trust him more with what's going on? Because if we do, look at the wonderful description it gets. It says that the tree that's planted to the living water does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Is that what we see is by when the heat comes, that for a man who trusts the Lord, that guess what? Our spiritual leaves aren't going to wither. That they're actually going to remain healthy. That we're going to still be able to be patient. We're still going to be kind. We're still going to have peace. We're going to have joy. We're going to have the love of Christ no matter what occurs. And when that year of drought comes, guess what? We're going to continue to respond. Again, that's a long, hard time in life that this is talking about. 2020 might have seemed like a long, hard time of life. And you're like, when is this going to end? And maybe it hasn't. Your trial might not end in 2021. And so you have to be asking yourself, what is the Lord trying to do? What's he trying to accomplish so that I can continue to bear fruit even in this harsh drought? But by seeking God and really putting your effort towards walking with him, you will find that you will be sustained. And in fact, you'll have a disposition of James 1:2. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. That can be possible. Trials you don't love them. I don't either. They're hard. But what we can do is have confidence that we can have joy because we know that pressure is actually intended to help us be grounded to Christ, help to move in a deeper relationship with him, and can give us courage to face whatever trials are going to come. Because they're going to come. 2021 is going to have trials. You can have confidence in that. But you don't have to be anxious about it. You don't have to be anxious about our government changing power. You don't have to be anxious about your job. You don't have to be anxious about what's going on in your family, because you can trust in the Lord. Now, there might be concerns. Concerns are different. But anxiety is a fear. It's a gripping fear that actually controls us. And so we can move in 2021 with a hope of Christ in everything. So trusting the Lord and living the way He instructs will give you the strength and wisdom when the pressures of life come. And so when we really reflect on change, is we have to now stop and pause. Because 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017 might have all seemed the same to you. You might not be seeing a lot of progress in your spiritual life. And the reason is, it does take humble examination for real change to happen. And that's our third point. Humble examination will equal real change. Look at verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And so what you see is the first question, what is the heart? Is that is Jeremiah and God, they're referring just to the beating physical heart? No, that's not what he's referring to. No, what God is referring is really that it was the understanding that the heart was the seat of desire. It was the seat of our motivation. It fueled what we did and how we lived this life. And so as you will see actually in verse 10, that it actually says that that's what God searches. It also says it tests the mind, which actually it's interesting. The word there for mind is not mind. It's more of kidneys, which again, like, wait, what? But what the kidney was it was the most sensitive part of man. That if a death blow happened to the kidney, you were pretty much done. You were going to die. And really what that referred to is really the seat of emotions. And really reminds of the susceptibility of our life. But we're going to find is that with this heart and with this kidney, is really he's looking at the whole hidden elements of man's character and personality. It's a reminder that nothing is hidden from God. Nothing. And so what we're going to say is that because of how we respond in 2021, or really for the rest of our life, is that our response to trials cannot just be behavioral responses. God looks at the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And it reminds us that you can't just fake it till you make it. You guys heard that term before? I remember in high school and college, I was the faker till you make it. Meaning that our teachers would teach and give long lessons and really dive in, really try to help us to understand. But I didn't really care. What I cared about was the little piece of paper that I got at the end of all these long classes, making sure that I got good grades. And so what would happen? Night before, time to cram. Because I knew the test was coming, so I was going to cram. I was going to appear that I really understood that and appear that I knew what from the lessons, the information I was given. And man, I could get that test. And guess what? After that test happened, all that knowledge left. And the same thing is sometimes that's how we operate in our spiritual life. That we really, when pressures come on, as we try to put on our best face, we try to put the smiles on, maybe we try this kindness, this love, but when they leave, or when they get harder, it starts to wane. We no longer are as committed to studying God's word. We're no longer as committed as praying as when the fire was on our life, when the pressure was on our life. And really, oftentimes we even can hide that motivation from others because it looks good on the outside. But we really don't have a changed heart and a changed mind about the trial that's actually occurring in our life. But then we see that we can't escape the Lord's examination on that. Look what it says in verse 10. It says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds." So you have to be reminded, God is going to do an examination on your life. He's already examining your life. And most of you just see it as like, hey, I'm going to be good enough. I'm going to be okay. Some of you are believers in Christ. You realize that isn't a good answer. And you're changed in Christ. But yet you still continue, you're not discerning your heart. It's interesting that it says, you know, the heart is deceitful and sick. Is that we justify what we do. There's not a reason that you're living this life if you're not justified, and that this is going to get you what you want. Now, oftentimes we look at God's word. I do a lot of counseling. People come in, they talk with me, and they start saying, hey, yeah, this is happening in my life. And usually when they come to me, is that life is kind of falling apart. That the sin has really gotten to a place where it's really going to be a struggle. But what they're looking for is more of a way to get out. And they're looking for a way that it might be alleviated or relief will come. They're sorely disappointed when I tell them that's not going to be what happens. But what I find is that the more I talk with them, the more I ask questions, is that I find that there's desires there that are sinful. And sometimes that can be within marriage. Like, I do a lot of marriage counseling, and that's some of the harder counseling to do. But what I find is, I find that two people are sitting there, and they think they're right. They might say, well, yeah, I'm not supposed to, you know, speak angrily at that person, at my spouse. Or, yeah, I shouldn't have yelled at them. Maybe I shouldn't have said those things. But, there's always a but. Why? Because in their heart they feel justified. But they said this to me. But they haven't been doing this for me. And sometimes that's how we live this Christian life. And it's a reflection that our heart is deceitful. We're living with buts in our life. Well, I would be more persevering in my walk with Christ but I need this to happen in my life. And then I'll be happy with God. Then I'll trust Him. But that's not what we see, is that it's the heart, our desires, our motivations, they're deceitfully wicked. And so when you sit there and you think you're justified in what you're doing, what is the level of examination that you're doing? Because God is examining it very deeply. But thankfully, He's given us the tool that's necessary to actually examine our hearts. And that's this book right here. It's His Word. And thankfully, if you're a believer in Christ, your heart has been changed. You do have a heart of flesh from a heart of stone, but you should not think that you're not susceptible to the deceit. There's still fallen sin in our world. And it's a reminder that then we have to be looking to God's Word for help so that we can gain discernment on where our heart is at. In fact, in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So I'm going to put another quote up here from How People Change by Tim Lane and Paul Tripp. It says, God enters our lostness with the comprehensive and practical wisdom of His Word. The Bible unfolds life as God sees it, inviting us to know God, to know ourselves, to know life, and to know how God works to undo the damage sin has done to each of us. The Bible is the ultimate spiritual compass, able to tell us exactly where we are and where we need to go. You see, we talk about reading God's Word around here a lot. And some of you do read God's Word a lot. But the question is what are you doing with that? What are you doing with what God is revealing in your life? Is this just good information, or are you actually examining yourself to see your motivations, to see your heart, and then see how to live? Because that's going to demonstrate that trust to walk in His ways. And that's what's going to change and transform your life. So the team's going to put a graphic, and I kind of want this to be an opportunity for your own personal reflection. And so this graphic is a graphic that has been a blessing in my life. It's been a graphic that I've used for discernment in my own heart, in my own life. But it's also a graphic that I do when I sit down with people and help them to consider their own walk with Christ. What I love about this graphic, it really gives a picture of what we just learned about. Because the first thing that you see at the top is you see the heat, the trials of life. And what's interesting about that is that the heats and trials come to everyone. Whether you're righteous or unrighteous, you will have these heats and trials. It's the same heat that bears on our life. And some of these trials are very similar to us. I mean, we live in America. We will have trials that will come from our government entities. We will have trials of just living in Olathe when we have extremely cold winters and extremely hot summers. Those are common things. There's also common things, the fact that we're in relationship with people. Whether that's friendships, co-workers, whether that's within the church. And there's heat. People are going to sin against you. And these are all going to be the heat in your life, the trials in your life. And these things are very much not controlled by you. They might be a result of something you've done. Might be a result of your sin. Might be a consequence. But sometimes it's just a matter of life. In fact, if you get COVID, guess what? That's a heat. We can wear masks, we can social distance, those are things, but it's not going to prevent you from getting it necessarily. And those are going to be heats of your life. The fact of where your job is by 2022, some of you will lose your jobs. Some of you will get new jobs. Some of your jobs will be extremely hard, some of them might not be as hard. The fact of where your home is, like when I woke up this morning and went into my kids' room to wake them up, I had no idea what that response was going to look like. I had no control. Was it going to be a sweet smile, laugh? Or was it going to be, I don't want to get up? All right? Those are all heats and the trials of life. But what we can see is then we see two trees. And really these trees reflect the fruit that we're bearing. And when we consider the fruit of our life, this is really the behavior, the emotion, real responses to life. These are things of how we're actually responding to that trial. And so in these, is if we looked at the righteous fruit, we're looking at things like love, kindness, patience. We can go to Galatians 5 and gather all those things. And those are the righteous fruit. We'll also find that there's peace and comfort in living in a trusting relationship with God. But then the other side is the harsh, the barren, the cursed man, whose fruit is sin. And again, as believers in Christ, we are transplanted, we are in relationship with God, but sometimes we still long, and we still operate as like we're in the barren desert. And so in those, is you have to consider, okay, the heat's in my life, the pressure is on. Instead of looking at that as the problem, let's start examining ourselves. Why are we responding the way that we are responding? And if we can't look at Scripture, and if we're saying, if we examine Scripture and say, this is not what God says for me to do, we got to understand why. And the why is going to be the roots. And these are the desires, the motivation for your life. And so you can see that one thing that has helped me to examine this is the question of, am I loving God in this circumstance, or am I loving myself? Am I loving God or am I loving self? Am I more concerned about what God's going to accomplish in the circumstance, or am I more concerned about what I'm going to get out of this circumstance? And so when you can start considering those desires, it's going to give you the reminder of where you fall. Whether this is the thriving plant, the thriving tree, or if this is the one tree that's in desolation. But then you see the third tree, and that's the cross. Because what's great is that there is grace offered to you today. For the one who does not know Christ, God says you can be in relationship with him. And what that means is that you have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have to believe he paid the penalty for your sin so that you can be in relationship with him. And that will help you get transplanted so that you can be transplanted into the life-giving water of being in relationship with God. And then there's the Christians here. Is that instead of our roots going out, instead of our roots actually tapping into this life-giving source, we actually look for the worldly method, the worldly means. And so as you're examining, as you're diving into God's word, as you're finding this, ask the question, what does God want me to be motivated by? And how do I see this from his word? Because we have to let that be the examination tool. We can't just lean on our own understanding. We have to let him examine our heart. And this is only going to come through actually reading and studying and meditating on his word. If you do this, you will find that there is going to be a transformation in your life. But it's a transformation of repentance. And that's where you see the repentance really path. Is that as you're recognizing, it's not just good to recognize the bad fruit or the bad motivations. That can't be the only thing. You have to confess. You have to bring those to the Lord. You have to confess to people that you've hurt in that way with those in that path. But then that's where you can't stop. There actually has to be change. You're going to have to think differently. You're going to have a new desire, and you're going to have new fruit. If you're truly going to go through the path of repentance. But remember, in that path, there's joy. In that path, there's contentment. So when life gets hard, when the pressures keep coming, when it doesn't seem alleviated, you can have trust in the Lord and what he's doing. And you can trust that comfort will come and that joy will come.